Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
And good evening, live paranormal listeners. You are listening to the Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal, the top social community of the paranormal world. My name is Chad Cornell, and I am joined by my co-host, as usual, Mr. Doug Malinowski.
What's going on, world?
Hopefully everyone is having a good week. Hopefully it's moving by fast for you, getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, shit, man, the weekend's right around the corner. Pleasure of the podcast, man. You know, it's Thursday night. Friday's right around the corner.
Very true, my friend.
Unless you got a job, and then, you know, Saturday's usually, hey. So, let's see. We had an interesting weekend. Last weekend, we went down to Dunkirk, New York, for the Dunkirk Lighthouse. What's up, Don, if you're listening? It was a good time. It was a good turnout. They sold out all... It was a sellout. People got to investigate with us.
Got to have some cool fun experiences.
Yeah.
I know we got some pretty cool stuff during the public investigation.
Yeah, we got a number of EVPs. It's pretty cool. I know we had one fella, he drove 8 hours.
Which is
eight
impressive.
Freaking hours just to go. And I tell you what, he was one of the last people to stay. I wish I knew. I wish I could remember his name. But he's a really cool dude. He had a real cool backstory about why he's into paranormal stuff. So
yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, 8 hours is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool. But he was a nice guy. It was, I think, pretty much the last non-known person there, because other people had an association with somebody there.
Yeah.
But he was from eight hours away. But it should be a fun show tonight. We got our good buddy on, Mr. Adam Kimmel from Resident Undead, and also the owner of the infamous Madison Seminary.
Yeah.
So we're going to have him on here in just a matter of moments. I think we'll just go ahead and knock out our quick commercial so it's out of the way, so we can dive into the myth, the legend, the man known as Kimmel.
Shit. I mean, Kimmel.
Oh.
I'm just playing.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in 45 seconds.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
All right, and we are back. And let's go ahead and bring on our special guest for the night. Like I said, he is the myth, he is a legend, the man known as Kimmel.
Kimmel.
Hello, sir. How are you, my friend?
I miss you guys. I miss you guys. You guys are crazy. Like, God. You know, I was just thinking, like, well, where are we going? What's the topics tonight before we jump into it? I just, like, love this already. I know there is some craziness of brew. What's the agenda tonight?
Oh, You know there's never an objective with our show. We just go with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you better be more real. It's better be one of the agendas.
Well, we've already gotten that far.
Yeah.
I know you have. I was sneaking on the live feed to make sure. As always, in true respect of the eerie voice, you got to do it.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Adam, what have you been up to recently?
Gosh, well, you know, I was just thinking the other day, like, I wish, like, when we were at MadCon, we just, you know, last time I saw you guys was at MadCon, and it was, like, craziness. There was a lot going on, you know, a lot of shuffling, and it was great having you guys out to that. That event turned out really good. Raised all that money for cystic fibrosis. And I think we had a good time. I think overall it was like a really good turnout. It calmed down after that. We just been a lot of work on the building. Today we just, I won't say because like half the Mad crew hasn't seen the surprises yet. We've done some renovating in the building and some stuff got added in. And they're going to be shocked when we do flashlights and we have this public this weekend. But we've opened up an entire new wing that was kind of like blocked off. So exciting stuff.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be a busy month for you because you got Madison's going to be featured on the Travel Channel's Most Haunted. So congratulations there. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So have you been able to see the episode yet, or are you going to be as surprised as the rest of us?
I have talked with the ones that are behind it, you know, really good film producer Laura. Like, nothing's been fed to me. I just know, like, I've seen their work already with the first episode because the first episode just aired this last Sunday. And, you know, they went to Savannah, Georgia, you know, haunted road trips. It's really good. It's really good. And it's funny because when we put out the Beacon, the Madison Seminar is on there, some other people that have already been on the show reached out. And they already want to come to Madison. You know, we're already exchanging information with these people. But, you know, it's great because what Laura and Chandler, these are the people they're working with that entertainment company, they're, like, really going after genuine people in the paranormal. And, you know, these shows that are out there, you know, it feels like, where do they find these people? But, like, the ones that we've already seen reaching out, like, they did a really good casting for this. They found genuine people that are giving genuine accounts. And the stories are phenomenal. So, but yes, to answer that, I will be just as surprised as everyone else to see what makes the final cut. And, I mean, we gave them our most terrifying experience. As you guys know, Madison Seminary delivers. There's always enough. There's enough terrifying at that building at times.
I would totally agree. And I don't even know if I've told you the story of what happened to me during the last flashlight tour there. I'm not sure if I told you.
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
I think
maybe.
Show you.
Tell me, refresh my memory.
Well, I saw.
Oh, but you know, you need to share this for on air here. No, it was the night I wasn't there, but Shay was with you, right? Up in the asylum.
Yep.
Oh, you got to tell me this story from a listening.
This is another story. No, no.
Oh,
same night, and it was verified because I had no idea Shay had the same experience. We had him on the show, back during the Summer of Undead.
Summer of Undead.
But anyways, we had him on, and we were talking. We were, you know, talking about MadCon, talking about experiences there. And I kind of started bringing up the story of what happened to me the night during one of our first flashlight tour we were doing for you guys. Last team out, last group out, and we're in the basement looking out across the hall looking toward the cafeteria. I seen somebody walk up the end of the ramp there where you can actually see them, look right at me, and then walk back down the ramp. So, okay, I thought somebody got separated, so I'm thinking, okay, maybe somebody else in the building. So I start walking in the hallway, and I think it might have been Andrea, or I think it might have been her, popped out. She was going, I think, to use the restroom, and I asked if anybody else was in the building. She's like, no, it's just you guys. Well, she started hearing stuff and getting weird readings. I went back to the rest of the crew. I couldn't debunk it, but I knew what I saw. The night Shay was on, I started talking about it, and he started describing what he saw, and it was the exact same thing. We both saw a man with, you know, dark pants, everything, faces all blurry, kind of looking like it was like shaky. And yeah, I want to say it was my first full apparition I've ever seen. And Shay actually verified it because the same exact thing he saw. And this happened live on air, and I still get goosebumps.
I believe 100% because, like, we have had, you know, Shay, I remember the night he saw that same figure. It was like, well, you're describing the ramp. Like, literally, Shay saw the same thing, like, 5 feet away, but in the middle of that hallway of the middle building. So, like, it's literally give or take 5 feet from exactly where he saw his. And he came back, dude, and you can just picture Shay's alarmed face. Kimmel, Kimmel, like, wide open. The blood of his Honduras people running through him. He's like, you know, he was just frightened. His eyes are all wide. And I knew he saw something. He started describing that, like, just like you are. And, yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny because we talk about that building that there are no safe spots. Like, you know, when you go to some locations, team sets up at a base and you're all good. And you think, well, nothing will happen at base. Dude, there's no safety at Madison. No corner is protected. You will see activity pretty much all throughout that building. And it's a high-traffic area, so you're not wrong for thinking it was somebody because people have to go down that ramp to use the bathroom. But I'm telling you, dude, there's something out there. There's something in that spot for sure that I think is an older man from all the descriptions I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. And then obviously that night when we did our little mini-investigation, Shay joined us in the asylum. That was pretty impressive for us.
Oh, that was.
With the Melmeter on
the
shadows.
Uh-huh.
And their EVPs.
Yeah.
Nothing beats actually catching an EVP that was actually not an EVP. We'll call it a voice phenomenon because we heard it through our ears. But we also captured it on the live stream as well.
Yeah, because people were commenting.
Yeah. So that was good stuff. And then that's the old style. We always get good stuff up there.
I think, wasn't on the stairwell you caught something? Like, was that when you caught the actual EVP on your live feed? Were you going up the stairwell?
We were actually right in the asylum, right in the corner hallways of before you go down the back hall where actually the chair is sitting now, the old infamous chair. We were sitting at the corner with the dark man usually is at. That we were sitting right there talking and doing it right then and there. So that was a crazy night. Cause I remember Shay's face. Like, he was just so much shocked about what was happening. He never experienced something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember watching your feed. I think there was actually another disembodied voice captured. I think I saw people writing that when you were walking up the stairwell, there actually was it's been a while since I've seen it. I think you captured something else as well because I remember watching that feed later. Because here's the thing. I knew it was ridiculous that night because Shay never messages me after, you know, it takes a lot for Shay to be like, yo, Kim, well, you got to see this. And – yeah, he told me, he's like, you will not believe what's happening right now. I'm out here with Chad and Doug and the group, and, like, this stuff is ridiculous. And he was talking about the stuff going on up in the asylum with you guys, but I did end up reviewing that live feed after, and I was impressed. Like, it was – but you know what I tell people? It is interesting what happens to that building when we do flashlight tours. Like, we probably bring in about 50 to 60 people a night on average. Sometimes we have our slow nights. Sometimes we have our really big nights. But it's like putting a car battery to that building. So for 5 hours, we're bringing people in. We're talking about the spirits. We're sharing their history. And then it stops at like 1 a.m. Last tour's done. And then it goes quiet in that building. The whole, you know, mad crew takes a break. And then, like, they run in to do a ghost hunt like we do. You know, that's what you guys did. You participated in one of the after ones, the after parties. And I'm telling you, like, it is ridiculous the activity that happens. It's like putting a car battery to it. So.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you were speaking earlier about MadCon and how a huge success it was. I know there'll be a MadCon, too, in the near future, next summer. Did you have any conversations with Chad and any kind of experiences he had during his time there? And I'm speaking for those who are not aware of talking about. I'm talking about Mr. Chad Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chad Lindbergh joined us. We had Chad Lindbergh and Michelle Bellinger, which I'll cover both because I'll tell you what, very interesting. So Chad came in Thursday. He flew in from California. And so he got to experience the building a day before, you know, let him break it in. And surprisingly, you know, that day, you know, they didn't have any experiences that first day, nothing. It was very quiet. And then Chad didn't have a lot of his, like, bigger experiences until that Saturday. That's when, you know, door slamming, stuff like that, hearing the voices. But you know how it is. You know, one day could be a miss. You go one location, you know, the wrong day. I go the next day with another team, and boom, it's like on fire. So it was great to have him there multiple days to kind of get a feel for the building. But he was very impressed, and he's already down. He's down for MadCon 2. And Michelle Bellinger, I was really excited about her read because she had been to the property prior to the purchase. So she remembers that building. I think she was out there for one of Goose's events. Goose did an event there for MS. And that was the last time. Goose did that maybe like 3 to 4 years ago. Like it was maybe even five years ago. It was way back. And Michelle was like walking through and she's blown away. And she's looking at all the furniture on the old Madison Seminary side. And she's just like, she's like in awe. And I walk into a room and I'm like, Michelle, what do you think? And she's like, it's the love. She's like, I can feel the love of how much love has been put into this building. She can feel with the first, she's like in awe, like looking around. She's like, that's what's radiating. The energy's so good. Like you can tell people care. Like the crew's great. You can feel the energy of the crew. We care about the stuff we're putting in there. All of us, you guys have been a part of it. Like it is such an awesome operation. And she was blown away, but she was actually drawn to one rocking chair. So like we're given this like tour, like we're just some people, and she's just like mesmerized on this chair for like 5 minutes. She's like, that chair has some wicked attachments to it. But see, we get antiques donated all the time, you know? So I'm thinking like, all right, you don't know where these things come from. That's, you're almost like increasing the haunting. So,
sure.
But yeah, she had a blast. She just was madly impressed. And speaking of Michelle Bellinger, you know, we were talking back and forth because she now has started her own house, the Inspiration House. And
yes,
just for everybody
yes,
listening, that's something to check out. You know, it's going to be open to the public for investigating. There is a, I think it's October 13th and 14th. Don't quote me on this. But there's a weekend in October here where she is literally, you know, going to do little small investigations with people. So if anyone's interested in that, look up Inspiration House. It's in Oberlin, Ohio. Amazing property. I've been there, I believe it's just once now. Yeah, I was there already once. We kind of did a small investigation. The evidence we pulled in like a small hour was incredible. So it's worth it.
Nice. All right, so Adam, I know you had mentioned antiques and everything, and furniture. I see recently you've added more to the collection, correct?
Yes. And I mean, I can just go, man, it's funny because every time I come back, you know, you get people that find these, you know, thrift stores, Goodwills. They're selling antiques like $3-4, and they're like, wow, these are great antiques when you look at them. Sometimes we find stuff on Marketplace. People donate a lot of stuff because I think what's happening in Madison is they're seeing that, like, the crew that's there, all of us behind this, yourselves included, like, this is like a beacon. This is something, it's our generation's chance now. Like, you know, a lot of these locations are run by, I call them slumlords, but there are a lot of great locations. So I'm not throwing locations on the bus. I have just seen locations that don't care. And Madison is this beacon where it's just like all these people come together and you're seeing change. Every time you come there, change. Everyone's opinion counts. We do it as a collective. And with the furniture showing up, it's just ridiculous. The cause is so good. And I could go on. We now have like 5 wicker wheelchairs. We have an operating table that the Centauris gave. Desks have been brought in, beautiful furniture Kathy Centauri got. I mean, I could mention names with all the stuff. I always give the shout outs because it is miraculous and incredible what everybody finds and brings. But yeah, the furniture since you guys have been there has probably increased tenfold. It's ridiculous.
Now I know, I mean, not to skip over Madison, but I know you've been also very busy. You have so many different projects happening.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's a specific project you're working on. We're not going to discuss that because that's something you're still working on. But we do know that you are busy with many things with Resident Undead. You just released a new episode just, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I want to say it was.
Yeah.
That was at the St. Joseph's
yes.
Hospital. And I know you have a whole bunch more in the queue as well, so can you kind of let people know what's going on with that and what's upcoming?
So, and we can get back, because actually I was starting to work on Barnabas. Barnabas, so going back for everybody, like, Madison slowed me down the last year, and even the last year and a half, it's very hard to produce when I'm at Madison. Like, when I get into the RU editing, and everybody, like, they think I get antisocial, I don't answer texts. That's not me, like, ignoring. Like, I literally have to turn my phone off because I have, like, the worst ADD. Like, I'll get on Facebook, I'll start texting people, and I'm like, crap, that's, like, terrible for editing. And it's funny because Eric McGill, who is now with us, is also a producer, and he, like, says the same thing. You've got to go into mass isolation. So when I'm back editing, I literally have to, like, just ignore my phone, and I will edit for 8 hours. And it's funny because talk to anybody that does production, 8 hours, you're like, oh, you should have a full episode done. No, 8 hours gets you, like, a good 7 to maybe 8 minutes. Like, it's ridiculous because you're cutting it down to the best of the best. And I've been bouncing around. So St. Joseph's, it's not that it took me a year. I was, like, kind of – I had a lot of computer problems I went through, and we got those solved. I got a faster computer. Woolover gave me another laptop that I use, and St. Joseph's will finally put out. But it did take me a year to put St. Joseph's out, because I filmed that, like, last July. That's how long ago. We did do Barnabas, the St. Barnabas house, prior to that. I have that almost halfway done, because I've, like – during certain days, I jump around, I'll edit. The Barnabas episode is looking really good. That was a really active night. Real quick, Chad, if you want to give anyone listening that's not familiar with the Barnabas house and your involvement, I know that the Barnabas is no longer, I believe. I think that's under private ownership. But while you were there, maybe if you give everyone a little recap of what the St. Barnabas house is.
Sure. St. Barnabas house was a location that grew in size over time, but it started off first, and it was built back in, I think, 1903, I believe. Maybe there was something else prior to that, but in 1903, they built a original building to be a retreat for the Brothers of Barnabas, a summer retreat, mm-hmm. and then it became more of a permanent stay, and they added on to it. They brought in, it was almost turned into almost like a place for the brothers and so forth for service and whatnot. Then they started helping the needy and the sick. They expanded that to bring in children. Became almost like a center to an extent. And then over time, it expanded to it even more because as children, they had to do jobs around the place. They built it up, and it had turned into to a nursing home and then to another facility. Then it was back to being to a location just to meet. And throughout the years, it was just multiple things, from a nursing home to, like I said, a retreat to just many, many aspects. And the last thing it was a nursing home, and had multiple deaths, obviously, on the premises. And a few of the Brothers of Barnabas were actually buried on the property within the chapel, which is the center point of the entire building. They had, I believe, two of the brothers were buried in the floor, and there was also a third one who was cremated, and he was stuck in the wall behind a picture. But those were, whenever it was bought, removed from the premises. But a lot of interesting things do happen in that chapel, might be because of the remnants of those people who loved that location so much. But multiple deaths throughout the time frame that was open, from obviously elderly and other situations. But it was definitely very active location, a very, always has something happened, and it's still, like, the story is built upon itself, but unfortunately that location was sold, and it
like
was
the 70s,
and it was
gone.
It's gone, but it has been put in the new hands, and new ownership is going to do something else with it. Sad to see it go, but it was a great property for those who got to investigate when they had the chance. So
yeah, It was an amazing, and like, you know, everyone's heard Chad say it right now, like, it was an incredible haunting that was going on. And, you know, yes, and the good thing is it will live on through people that did have the chance to film there. And this is what's very important, that it goes deeper than the ghost hunting. And this is how my mind works, because even as a young child, I was always obsessed with cameras and video cameras, because I was blown away how you can capture the moment. And I don't think, and mm-hmm. even anyone listening, I really want you to step back and think about this for a second. We don't realize how powerful that is, because life can be taken away from us in a minute. Like, we could, you know, you can get into a car, you can crash, and you're dead. and what is left behind. It's literally, you know, this is very dark to say this, but in today's day and age, the modern graveyard is Facebook. When you die, and unfortunately, sometimes learning about someone dying, you're getting on Facebook, and all of a sudden you see everybody writing rest in peace on someone's Facebook wall. It's crazy. Like, and these are the things we leave behind, the pictures, the videos. And I always urge people, I'm like, I'm not telling everyone to become a producer and, you know, videographer and all this stuff, but just really – you know, if you enjoy the moments of life of what you do, but also don't forget to capture them. Don't, it's not crazy to always pull out a camera and take a picture or film something, because you have immortalized that moment. And when we are gone, you know, it's what I always tell the crew at Madison. We're already famous. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you don't get it. In 100 years from now, we're famous. Like, they're going to remember our names because of all the work we put into this, all the videos and all the pictures. You know, someone, some historian in Lake County is going to look back, you know, 100 years from now and be like, oh, Madison Seminary, built in 1847, blah, blah, blah. And the history is really cool, really cool, really cool. And then all of a sudden, 2016 rolls around and you get these, like, hardcore fanatics that were like, you know what, we refuse to let this building fall. It will not be demolished. It will not deteriorate. And they literally made it a living time capsule, and you follow their stories. So we may not realize it now, but we have already impacted the future. They will know our names. They will remember our names. And when we go to these locations, you know, such as the St. Barnabas House, whatever future leads to it, may these new owners fail or succeed, there is some kind of documentation of the building to live on.
Yeah.
And, wow, that was deep, guys. But, yes, that's kind of like the importance of all these things. So,
kind of piggyback on that, I'm not even sure if Doug's aware, because I don't know if I mentioned to him or not. I want to thank you ahead of time, because I do know that you are making a special dedication during Barnabas House for our fallen member of our team, Gordon, because he passed away less than 2 weeks prior to that shoot you guys did. And
yes.
He was going to be there. He was going to do a nice dedication for.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Which I know, Gordon.
Yeah, Chad and I, yeah, we did talk. And Doug, yeah, now you do know if you didn't, but, like, there will be a dedication at the beginning of the St. Barnabas episode to him. That is absolutely happening.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And I am pretty disappointed that Shay and Weaves didn't get a chance to check the place out. And that saddens me because, you and Shay could have had a nice little bromance moment with that sunset that happens there, you know.
Yeah, they even have a chapel, man.
We have the chapel. Look.
Yeah, but I know you.
Let's go give a shout out to Julie Granger. Shout out to Julie Granger, who is the greatest photoshopper of ever. You know, it's funny. I do laugh because the urban legend. And if anyone hasn't seen our Facebooks, yes, I guess there was a Happy Boyfriend's Day that I didn't even realize happened, or Shay may have just made the national holiday, which was the bat signal for Julie to come out and make some new Photoshop pictures of, you know, the newest one. And if anyone's listening, if you follow Shay or myself on Facebook, if you find that actual post and you want a good laugh, there is one post she made. I think she was the first to respond to it. And she made us look like this couple from HGTV that are trying to buy a new house, but they can't, like, agree on the drapes. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. And here come the memes, and here come the gifts. But, yes, we could go on and on, though, about that. I won't commandeer that, but, geez, the bromance, yes.
Yeah, but like we were saying before, I know you have a lot of things as far as episodes in the cooker, a lot of the great locations you're at, so people can look forward to seeing that in the very near future. And I believe this upcoming year you have a lot of great locations. You don't tell us now because obviously we'll keep that surprise. We have a lot of great locations already booked for the new season of Resident that did come out.
Yes, we do. And exactly, because I want people to be excited about this. Shay actually was taking the helm, and RU, Resident Undead, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years, and I've learned along the way, like, nobody in the paranormal can do this themselves, and you guys get it. You always have to have a battle buddy, or you got to have an inner circle team, and there's so much work that goes into doing this. You know, you got to have somebody who researches history, you got to know someone who knows equipment, And if you're going to take it farther, you got to have filmmakers. You know, Eric McGill has now joined us. So as of right now, you've got David Wolliver and Eric McGill. We are pretty much the, you know, the beast of the production. And Eric McGill was a part of, as you guys know, Ectivision. And Ectivision has gone their own way. They're all good friends still. I still know the crew. Actually, they came out, some of the team of former Ectivision came out for MadCon. It was great seeing them again. And, you know, seeing Eric's talents, you know, it's creepy because when I have these conversations with Eric, I feel like I'm talking to a clone. And I said, you know, Eric, the last 8 years, all I wanted was like, I feel like I wish I could have duplicated myself so I could work faster, but he just gets it. Like, we clicked immediately. And I am telling you guys, any fans of RU that are watching the production game, it's chilling. It's like, we can rival television now. He's a guru. He just, and he did this little thing on the Inspiration House, because we're doing these interviews with Michelle. We have now reactivated My Haunted Life with Michelle. It was a series we did a while back when I was still my novice stage. But now Eric is in the director seat with us, and it's just phenomenal. So, yes, there are 5 new locations sealed down. Shay has helped. And 3 of those locations have virtually been untouched. Maybe a national ghost, maybe a TV show has been there. But as far as underground, we're going to, 3 of the 5, we're going to be the first to touch down on it. So it'll be exciting to kind of, you know, reveal the haunting to everybody and share the story.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I always have a few on my sleeve for you as well. You know that.
Yeah. But that's
well,
always
what everybody
the best.
Listening. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say that that's always the best locations. The ones, the diamonds in the rough, you know, that nobody knows about because they're untainted.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
You know, oh man, this gets into something. This always happens. What's our timer at? Okay, we're only halfway into the show. Good. All right. Remind me on that. Remind me on what you just said, Doug, because I got so fed up the other day with some post that I saw. You know, the paranormal community, there's just like a lot of things being said, and it revolves around that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I heard and how I felt, because you're exactly right. And, but, you know, what people listening also know that Chad, you are like my drug dealer. When I need my drug, my fix of a new location, I literally always go to you because you always have something up your sleeve. You actually have a very good connection to locations, and it has never let down. You know, we did the Judson House and Eagle Hotel. That is also in production. And, you know, pulling up to some of these locations, you're thinking, small, it's got the history. You know, and you even said, don't let it fool you. And, wow, I took your advice to heart, and I didn't. I went in with that expectation, and, man, the haunting was just some of the clearest EVPs in a long time were captured at the Judson House. And that's up there in Waterford, PA, for anyone listening. Very cool place.
Just got shut
down. Oh, what?
No more investigations.
No more investigations. The Waterford Society, whatever. Yeah, they shut it down.
The people who are the, we'll call it, the ones who have a vote, voted it out doing ghost hunts. And,
yeah.
You know, they're kind of, I mean, whatever they decide, people can pay money to become a member and they can have a vote. But, you know, they did public ghost hunts, all this stuff to help money to keep coming into the location, to keep it going. It was one of their biggest revenues. The question is now is what's going to replace that? You know,
there is
shame,
no
but
revenue. No. And this is just coming from one owner to any owners out there that are listening or of historical societies. Like, you need to get with the game. Like, I'm sorry for being smash mouth. You need to stop being so stupid. There is a very intelligent way to save a historical building. I don't care if you don't believe in ghosts, you know. People go around, they press their beliefs of things. At the end of the day, we know there's something happening, all right? So, of course, this is what we do. This is our field of research. Like it or not, who cares? But there is a very good way to save these historical buildings and not touch anything to it. Like, you don't have to modernize it. I have to put $1 million into it because I'm going to make it into condos. You know, I had a guy come up to Madison with checkbook in hand. I'm like, first off, I don't think you understand who I am. Like, you could give me $1 million, you could try to give me $1 million, I'm going to refuse it. Like, this building has no value like that to me. Like, I love this building. Everyone, we all love this building. But it's just these people, like, they don't get it. Like, first off, you're destroying history when you renovate it. So, yeah, no, not cool with that. But then secondly, this is the way to do it, you know. Madison is financially stable, and it's literally through ghost hunting. We don't do anything else there. We do flashlight tours where we even integrate the paranormal. We do public hunts and privates. And, again, for these historical societies listening, like, Madison's still here and you're not. Oh, that sounds so arrogant. Too bad we're live or I tell you to edit that out. But it's out there for the record now. But
it's true, though.
It's sad and disappointing.
It's true. Yeah, quit beating around the bush. It's true. So,
it is. It really is. Because you get a couple people that don't understand or don't want to understand that make the calls.
Yeah.
You know, you're too old.
They think they're too old. Well, ultimately they don't like the fact that people have other views.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean,
they're too old.
I believe in,
it's like Congress, man.
I believe in heaven.
You gotta be voted out after so long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I believe in heaven and hell and all that stuff. But some people who are of the older age, they think that this is anti, you know, biblical and all that kind of stuff, and now they're against it. Well, you know, most people are there more for interest. Like, if you were the ghost tour, people were, like, intrigued by it, and it's bringing funds in to help the place keep going. But now you're losing all those funds. You know, that's a big chunk of money you have to try and figure out how to come up with. You know, it's a shame. It's unfortunate, but we don't make the decisions. It's their thing to do. But I know there are a lot of people out crying about that situation right now.
It is a bad decision.
Yeah, a lot. They have a lot of comments
well,
on their Facebook. About
well, them. You know. Not saying anything, but then they can suffer. They will fail at the hand of their decision. And, you know, Doug, you actually made a funny comment about voting out congressmen. They shouldn't be lifers. You know what I mean? Like, you get
exactly.
These men that have these – yeah, they need to be – you know, I was in politics for 5 years. Like, that's what I was studying to go to Washington, D.C. to do, and I pulled out to ghost hunt. So I understand social politics. I understand the big politics, and I hate it. I hate these mindsets because it's always a give me this or there's always an agenda. And like the what I'm creating at Madison is there's no agenda. You know, I've had people come up and they say, like, this situation seems too good. What's the catch? I'm like, no, help me.
Yeah.
Help me. That's the catch.
There's no catch.
Like, that's it. Help me build Rome.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no, like, I'm not going to restore this building and sell it for $3 million. Like, you don't get it. Like, there's no catch because I'm so tired of this with politics. Like, these politicians get bought off by big oil companies or pharmaceuticals, and they're literally bought off, or their mindsets are too old. And getting back to Madison again, we are a new generation of ghost hunters. And it's funny because we do have a few older people with us. I think they're always young at heart, you know. You know, you got the Santoris, they're a little older, but I feel like they're family to me, and they have that same mentality, that, you know, the optimistic mentality. And Madison is one of the few locations that's actually run by young ghost hunters. Like, where else do you see this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's winning, and it's winning hard. But, yeah, it's crazy out there, guys.
I think maybe we should find out if some of these politician or board members have ever gotten really drunk, maybe had inappropriate things, you know, do a little background check on them.
Well, because now it's the same thing, right? We can wait.
Maybe, you know, for those who don't get that joke, I'm sorry. If you're not paying attention to 24/7 TV. But
yeah,
anyway.
Welcome to the new world. But,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all exactly. Right. It's crazy what's going out there, so.
It is. All right, so let's change the subject a little bit. Now, I know you do a lot of ghost tours, and you get the people that are going there for the history, but then you get the people going there for the actual, you know, what's going on with this place. What's the funniest story you have from a flashlight tour of a person that was only there for the history?
Well, there was this one night, and actually Tony Santori was with me. This is one of the first ones coming to mind because, dude, every night there's always something funny going on. You get a lot of unique people that come through. They're always nice, but, you know, you get these unique personalities, and they're just like, I swear the building charges them up, and you get the more real version of them. But this one mother, and I give her – what's that?
Oh, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. So I was saying, like, this one night, this woman, and I give her credit for being hilarious, she must have been telling her children that she was, like, hazing them, saying, well, we're going to this place, and they'll abduct people. It's like a hub for sex trafficking, right? And I'm thinking, twisted. She's one of those kind of moms, right? So Tony and I are in the front, and we're guiding. We're so booked up this night that we had to use the front parking, right? So this one car pulls up to the front, and they get out, and these girls are just, like, on edge, right? And we're like, hey, welcome to Madison, and they start walking, and they're real, like, looking around, sketchy. And the mother, like, I can already look in her face. She's up to something. And they're, like, probably in their 20s. They weren't very young. They're in their 20s, right? They walk in through the actual seminary front door, which we don't normally do, but I don't want people walking around the side because we have traffic going back and forth. They get probably 5 feet in the door, and the one screams bloody murder. I'm like, ah, one of the staff must have walked around, scared the shit out of them. You know, it happens. Yeah. We hear bloody screams all the time of guests just getting freaked out because, like, our staff know that building inside and out, so, like, they walk around like ninjas, and then it's like a shadow's right in front of you. But so anyway, they run out. No, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. They're going to take our shoes off, and then we're never going to be seen again. I'm like, what did she just say? Like, we're going to take our shoes off? And Tony and I are looking at each other, and, you know, they were saying, you guys are going to abduct us and put us in sex trafficking? And, like, Tony and I are like, whoa, what are you talking about? Like, this is a tour for the paranormal. And, well, mom told us that goes on here, and women turn up missing all the time here. And I'm like, no. And I'm looking over here, and she's, like, trying to contain herself, like, not laugh. And I'm looking at her. I'm like, I see you. I like you, but I got to handle this now because these four daughters of yours are going crazy. And I was like, no, listen, they used to house women here. And they were elderly. I mean, I don't know where this is getting the other twist, but they were hysterical out there. And Tony, actually, I give props to Uncle Tony for trying to settle them down, to convince them to actually do it. And he said, yes, you need your shoes on, you know. But other than that, you get people that are just, I don't know, man. They're so many people, I think, get so engulfed in the building. It's really cool to watch. I mean, I don't want to say things get weird, but when you're in a building like that, you know, emotions fly and, you know, there's energy in the air. You know, we've had people that come in and they claim to be sensitive, and you obviously know my stance on psychics. I do believe in psychic phenomena. Do I believe everyone's psychic? No. I get these people in and they're, you know, testing their abilities. And it's just, it's funny sometimes what they say, because, you know, it's like, off the top of my head, I really can't think of anything. But, yes, the answer is yes. And for anyone listening, you got to come out sometime for a Friday Night Flash tour. It's entertaining as heck.
Absolutely, it is. And you always have, you know, also your ghost hunts you do as well. I think you have one that's on Saturday coming up. You know,
we
now
actually,
think back of an earth. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was going to say, just to put this out on the record for everyone listening, and if you do find yourself within a, you know, a decent ride to Madison and would like to participate, we actually, on October 27th, we've been talking about this for a while, and then Weebs just recently reminded me, she's asking, what do you think? This has been a talk down the pipeline for a long time, and it's RU inspired, but we were calling them Ripple in Time parties. And I always thought of it from my fraternity days because we used to have mixers, right? Like where, you know, your sorority would come over to the frat house, whatever. But there's always a theme. And because this is a PG-rated radio show, I won't give any actual themes. But from those days.
PG.
But now for the haunted stuff, we were thinking about doing a ripple and boats and hoes, you know, naughty schoolgirls. Now, we'll keep it a little more classier at Madison, but like, on the 27th, we are pretty much, I think it's a go. I just got to look at it, you know, we got to just look at logistics, but we are going to have the 27th as a Ripple in Time party of, like, doctors, nurses, and patients. And we're going to keep it pretty tight. Like, just like it is running an actual mixer, like, the code to get in, not only do you pay for the ticket for the ghost hunt, which is very reasonable. We only charge $65, pizza, drinks, that's all included. But to get in that door as well, you must be dressed to one of the three, you know, of that theme. So, and then just imagine, you know, do that, have a big ghost hunt that whole night for an 8 hours, 9 hours. I think the activity is going to be ridiculous.
Oh, hell yeah.
And considering the conversations I've tried to have with that naughty nurse on the top floor, hell, I'd be in their doctor outfit all day. Yeah, I'll
talk
the hell out of
you needed to have the doctor's outfit on, Dom. Yeah. You needed to have the doctor outfit.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
I've tried to you know, swoozer.
Swoozer?
Swooze the naughty nurse on the third floor.
Man. Yeah. And, well, you know, you could always have you can give away certain party favors. You know, there's certain whistles you can give away.
Yeah.
There's lots of things you could do.
Yeah, we see what's on Chad's mind.
Oh, hey, Doug, you were supposed
Don't
to remind me.
Here.
You were supposed to remind me about that statement you said. It just occurred to me how
about how other locations
always
are tainted.
Yes, and how? Okay, so here's what I'm getting at. All right, and it's like maybe I'm crossing a line here, and maybe this just shows that the paranormal is kind of stale. You get these teams that brag about being the first into a location, right? And they're like, because I don't want it to sound like that I'm bragging for RU, like, oh, we're going to be the first in. It's going to be the best night ever. I think it's a given because those spirits haven't had any interaction, right? Okay? Given.
Exactly.
That's the theory, right, that we're getting at. It's going to be good because no one else has been there. So here's my question. What are we failing as a paranormal community? Should, like, why do these hauntings suddenly get, you know, like, people be like, oh, well, maybe Madison Seminary's played out. Everyone's, you know, done stuff there. Or, you know, you go to another location and it's like, oh, everyone films there. What changed? Why does the paranormal community act like this? You understand what I'm asking?
I don't know, because I know when we were coming up, it was, all right, we had to go to the places where everybody else went. Like, we had to... We had to go and see it for ourselves. Like, you know, wow, they had this experience here. We got to go try it, you know. And now people are just, I don't know. I don't understand.
People want to be the first for everything.
But,
because they want that notoriety, but it makes no difference because you can go to a place, be the first one there, and not have a freaking thing happen.
Yeah.
You could be the third one there, and you could capture something that will change the paranormal world. That could happen at any single location you go to.
I mean, like we had just done
it. Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go. You're in the zone. You're getting it. You're getting it in.
Oh, like last week in Dunkirk, you know? First thing we told everybody, we're sitting in the basement. It's dark. It's quiet. We're like, this is what we do 90% of the time. Like, just because you came here doesn't mean you're going to have something happen. But at the same time, something might happen. You never know. You know, it's a shot in the dark.
Yeah, what people don't realize is the amount of time that is spent.
Yes.
If you're there for 10 hours, you might have maybe less than a handful of experiences. 90% of the time, you didn't have crap happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know. I don't know.
It's a shot in the dark.
It is. Every location is.
It is.
Every location.
It's just funny. When I see the paranormal community, it's not... It's like I'm telling you, say, but like I see all these teams get excited to be the first, and yes, these properties do need to be touched. These locations need to be investigated, but it shouldn't end then. You know, we need to actually change our strategies because the location doesn't become less haunted because it is you know, investigated constantly.
No.
We need to adapt. We do experiments at Madison all the time, you know. I could give a list full of experiments, and, you know, there was something actually – one of our staff over there, her name's Hannah. There was a night, you know, we were there. She happened to be there, and there was a rainstorm. Okay, and you want to talk about something cool? There was a thunderstorm. There was like lightning in the air. It was a there was a lightning bolt that I thought hit like the neighbor's house two doors down. That's how close it was to Madison, right? And
Damn.
We happened to go in there because you know the whole theory energy, right? Energy. And I was fixing a lock thing, and she was going to walk around and just, you know, she's going to look around at first. And we were going to, like, kind of maybe do a little ghost hunt after. But then I'm looking at this little lock thing to work on, and she goes, Kimmel, I just heard the loudest bang ever come from inside the building. And it caught my attention. I'm like, you know what? This place probably is charged. So We go up there. We start, you know, slightly investigating, listening stuff. We're hearing footsteps everywhere. We get into the – there's the murder bathroom upstairs on the second floor where the man hung himself. And I was in that one. She went down to the other one, and I could hear these faint footsteps. And she's over here yelling to me that, oh, my God, I can hear these footsteps right next to me. They're loud. Like, it sounds like somebody's coming. Then I heard them on my end, and I literally thought she got up out of that bathroom and was just walking towards me. I'm like – we were yelling to each other, like, we'd call our movements so we knew we weren't contaminating. You know, and then we heard a moan. There was a man moaning. We were sitting together in this one spot. It sounded like this old elderly man just moaning down the hallway. And it just goes to show people, just because the location's been tapped, we just have to think differently. Maybe watch for rainstorms. When there a thunderstorm comes in, dude, that's the prime time. Like, go in. We need to start changing our mindsets and quit being so stagnant. So...
exactly.
Yeah, Doug knows my thoughts about thunderstorms.
Yeah, yeah. Chad wants to piss on an electric fence during an interview or investigation.
Investigation, yeah.
Yeah.
Stag chart. Yeah. Wow.
Come on, you and Joe talked about it. Well,
no.
Recreating.
Yeah, recreating a way a thunderstorm does with all the negative ions and all the electricity in the air, and try and recreate that in more of a contained piece of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, there's different devices out there that can kind of simulate it, but you want to try and get something with some, you know, ionized water, and then, you know, putting some electricity through it, try and almost create that same stagnant just atmosphere, and see if they can help pull from that energy. Because when we do investigations under storms, holy shit.
There's always something going
on. Always something happens.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know, so, anyways.
No, right. No, you're exactly right.
But I was going to say, I'm scared to give you any more locations.
Oh, yeah, right?
I know. I'm scared to give you more locations because so far... I'm batting 1,000, but now it's just, it's all but downhill now for him.
What's up, Deidre?
Well, no. You preserved those locations now that, like, you know, you're more of like the Reaper, but you got some great things. Like, you basically have saved the Barnabas through memory and Judson as well. And I think maybe when I get the Judson episode out, maybe there'll be a rebirth, you know, maybe it'll bring enough attention that they'll change their vote. You know, this is how it needs
to be.
That'd be
cool.
Yeah. And plus, I'm not going to tell the public what I mentioned to you in our personal conversations, but the one location I spoke to you would, you know, down the road, if you ever get you guys to go there, you know, that would be a first for Resident Undead based off of the type of location it is and the type of, we'll call it facilities within the location you can investigate.
Correct. Yes.
And I'll tell Doug later. I don't want to give up any.
No, yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, my drug dealer.
I don't want to give locations that Kimmel may shoot at, because the last thing you want are people stalking Kimmel. But if that doesn't happen, wink, wink.
You know,
we've learned. Well, you know, no, it's interesting. Just people get excited. Like, I love meeting people that love RU. I do. I love it. I love reaching out. I love the paranormal. Like, I'm the kind of guy, we could talk for hours. I love theory. I love this stuff. And we've tightened it. That's why we have, you know, around the clock watches in Madison and stuff. But, you know, people get excited, you know. They want to come, and it's tough because I think a lot of people think the entire RU crew is going to, like, just always be, you know, out at Madison. And, you know, the Mad crew is getting that same infamy. You know, you get these people come in that see the pictures every weekend, and they see the videos of this, and they know the staff by name before they meet the staff. That's cool, but this happens, and this is the world we want to engage with people. Like, we want everyone to be excited with us, so we get it. It comes with the territory, and we want to meet everybody.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're almost ending this radio show, but stay with us for a second, because we'll continue on a little bit with the Facebook. We can't do that because of the freaking thing. It's not going to work that way.
Yeah.
But I guess we can't do that. But like I say, they have events, you know, events this weekend you can come to. They can check out Madison Seminary's Facebook page for all the upcoming events, correct?
Correct. You can go right to Madison Seminary on Facebook. Best way to keep up to date.
Awesome. And they can go to YouTube and check out all of Resident Undead episodes and make sure and, you know, subscribe to his channel so you can keep tabs on that. And make sure and like Resident Undead on Facebook. And as usual, we're always extremely happy to have one of our favorite guests and a good friend of ours, Mr. Adam Kimmel, who's speaking with now, come on the show. And I don't know, this has been a couple shows you've been with us and also co-host of the show. So we're always thankful for your time, sir, because I know it's very limited.
I always make room, dude. I owe you, Chad. I owe you. So I make room.
Nah, you don't owe me nothing. But we'll let you go because we're on the end of the show. But we want to thank you for coming on and joining us. And we'll talk again, obviously, really soon.
Awesome. All right, Playboys. I'll see you, Chad. I'll see you, Doug. Love talking always. You guys have fun, all right?
Good one.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Later, guys.
All right.
Have a good one, Adam.
And, ladies and gentlemen, that was our guest, Mr. Adam Kimmel, owner of Madison Seminary and also of Resident Undead. And we'll have to get off here because a new show is going to come on soon. But for those listening, I want to thank you for joining us on The Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal. And until next time, Douglas.
All right, until next time, real quick, be mindful of your surroundings. There is a postman this week who saved a man's life by noticing he wasn't getting his mail. So, with that being said, if you have old people living in your area, keep an eye on them. If you see something that doesn't look right, call the cops. Let it be known. Other than that, have a good one, y'all.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio from the Paranormal.